Hello, this is the podcast for our seventh class on the 15th of September, and we continue to talk about affirmative duties. Remember, our basic position is that you are under no obligation to come to the aid of another person or affirmatively involve yourself in any situation that you didn't create. If you, in your conduct, you always have a duty of reasonable care. So if you're driving, do it reasonably. If you're operating machinery, you have to do it reasonably. If you're building a building, you do it reasonably. Conduct. So distinguish conduct from basically being a bystander. So when are you under an affirmative duty to come to somebody's aid? And we talked about the Farwell case. Remember, in our hypothetical of the of Dean Manasar telling me that that he was going to beat up Professor Epstein, we've come to the conclusion that there is no affirmative duty on my part to warn Epstein of anything. We didn't have any of the four things that create an affirmative duty: special relationship, voluntary assumption of the duty, non-negligent creation of risk, or non-negligent creation of injury. So I was under no duty under those circumstances, even though I knew that there was a threat and I knew the parties involved. Now we come to Farwell, and we have a situation of fellows out together on a social venture. Our friend had nothing to do with the injury. There were two guys, bunch of other guys beat up one of them. And the question here is, does the friend have any, was he under any affirmative duty of care for his friend who was injured in this bar fight? The court, this is a challenging case, which is why, of course, that's why we talk about it. The court raised two areas where a duty arose, and I maintain that one area, the special relationship discussion, was unnecessary and doesn't even apply, can't apply here. But the other reason for duty, the voluntary assumption, is probably enough for a duty to arise. I read the case out in class, the New York case. It says social relationships or social venture, couple out on a date, and it wasn't their first date, out on a date, no duty of care to each other, no duty to ascertain each other's horseback riding, prowess, and no duty to make sure they were safe at all. No duty of care. Here in this Michigan case, the court says, well, there's a duty arose because he came back. Friend who'd run away came back and assisted him, gave him ice. So a duty of care arose. Second question is, did he behave reasonably in everything, and did he breach that duty? So it's always the breach comes in later. Make sure you distinguish the two. Why did he talk about special relationship? I don't know. We had some good suggestions in class. Maybe he wants to encourage people to take more care in their dealings in their social ventures. Maybe some people thought, well, maybe it was just punishing the other party. You know, they found a duty under voluntary assumption. Or maybe both were so weak that the court put two of them together. The thing to keep in mind is that a social relationship is not a special relationship. In and of itself, it's not a special relationship that leads to a duty. We had very structured special relationships, innkeeper-guest, all of those other things. and social relationship isn't among them. If you go out together and you agree in advance, will you look out for me? Okay, I'll do that. Don't let me drink too much tonight. You know, it's bad things happen like this. Okay, so the agreement in advance, I'll make sure, you know, you're my designated driver. I'll make sure you, I'll take care of you. I've got your back. None of that had any relevance in this case. There's no evidence that that happened. So merely co-adventures on an outing, on an evening out, no particular duty. Remember, back to our boat owner and passenger on the boat, no duty to warn, no duty of care. So special relationship here, I maintain, is not does not exist, even though this court wants to come up with something. Then we talked about, I pointed out the Moke case and page 146. We're going to come back to this case. Just remember this case. We're going to come back to it next class when we talk about Strauss versus Bell Realty. This is a Cardozo decision. Very, very awkward decision. But think about the policy here. If he opens up the door to liability for this one party, the door is opened up to all parties. So here they use no duty as a way to limit liability. It's just the irony in this case when it's a lack of water, but they don't want to open the floodgates to an enormous amount of liability. So the awkward decision here is he says, oh, it's not the omission of the commission of a wrong, it's merely the omission of a benefit. And although he doesn't say, he bases duty on the existence of a contract. There was no contract between the two parties. So they were not in privity of contract. The only reason there would have been a duty would have been based on the contract. You could get around this very easily. It's not a common sense thing, but think about the policy. And we'll talk about this when we talk about Strauss v. Bell Realty. Just remember that duty is very policy linked. Similarly, when we get to Randy v. Murak, duty to a third party you don't even know. Duty to a third party that you don't even know. The four school districts had, they had no control over this teacher. They knew that the teacher was a danger, but they didn't have any specific student in mind. But they basically enabled this teacher to get this job. They put themselves by, they could very easily have said, when requested with a letter of reference, had said no, or weren't able to do that, or not responded at all. They would not have put themselves in the middle of this litigation. So they, by answering the letter, they assumed a duty. They said, well, we didn't do anything wrong. We didn't do anything. We just didn't mention the bad things. Court says that's by affirmatively stating all kinds of good things, that's misrepresentation. That's affirmative, as just opposed to an omission. That's a commission. That's misfeasance as opposed to nonfeasance. Think about, all the other reasons they said for a duty. Those aren't any of the things we've talked about. Those are big policy reasons why, in this case, they're going to hold their feet to the fire. Otherwise, there's no recourse. A plaintiff would have no recourse. Again, so we ended up with Tarasoff, the big policy case, very controversial case at the time. Everybody was against this case. Our psychotherapist heard something in a therapy session. He did go to the police. He tried to do a number of different things, but at the end, the threat the killer carried out his threat and killed our third party, and the third party is now suing the psychotherapist, saying you had a duty to warn us. You had a duty to warn. You knew this was going to happen, and you had a duty to warn us. Well, ordinarily, this is he had no control over Podar. Really, he had put him into under observation, but they'd let him go. He'd gone to the police, but at the end of the day, he had no control over him, and he obviously knew that he was a very troubled person. He went to the police about them. The question of duty comes without a relationship to Tatiana. Was there any obligation on his part to warn? And the court said, well, here, this is a big step they're making here, because he knew there was a specific party was at threat. He had the knowledge and he had the ability to control him in some way because of his relationship to the killer. That relationship to the killer gave him the knowledge that then created the duty. This is a very tough case, and there was a lot of criticism of this case. It has not been extended. Look at the cases that followed it. Bella and Thompson, they said they did not extend it. No duty to do anything when there's an unspecified threat, unspecified victim. No duty when a harm is going to be self-inflicted. That is, patient said, I'm going to commit suicide. Suicide is committed. The parent sued the psychotherapist. No duty in that case. Self-inflicted. So very, very limited duty on policy considerations. Basically, it comes down to it. If you can prevent a killing and you have a special knowledge duty to behave reasonably, to do something. Again, the duty doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be held liable. He did a lot of stuff. He went to the police. He tried to keep him under surveillance, keep the killer under surveillance, but doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be considered negligent. He did do something. The threshold question was duty. Did he have a duty to warn? So, question again. But it was a very, very controversial case at the time and has not been extended. But these are the thing to take away from Randy, to take away from Tarasov, and I think even two guys, the guys out on the town there, I think the Segrist case, I think take away those, is that there are duties of policy question, and sometimes when the injury is so severe, the policy to prevent killings, to prevent child molestation, may prevail to create an affirmative duty. But it's not, it's a very, very specified circumstance. Okay, so next class we're going to start with the Ur case. duty created by a statutory violation. And ask yourself, why isn't this negligence per se? Why is this different from negligence per se?